Thank you, brothers. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We're asking for you to come and be with us at this point of the service, dear God. Anoint us, Lord, to bring your word. Anoint us to bring deliverance, dear God. Anoint us, Lord, to bring blessing and revival amongst our people, Lord. We ask in Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'd like to read from Ephesians chapter 6. I want to speak on demons again today. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You may be seated. So, this war, wrestle, as he calls it, that Paul speaks here, it's not against flesh and blood. It's not a flesh and blood matter, but it's against demons. It's against powers from hell, and they're oppressing, and they try to press on the people in many different ways, and the thing that we can wrestle against them with is faith, God's word. Jesus, as it said, never used any of his great powers to overcome the devil. He simply used the word of God, which is the same thing we've got. And he defeated the devil once and for all, so we've got power over the devils. He said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. And so we have that power over them. I wanted to start off by bring your attention to an incident that happened in Brother Branham's ministry, many of you are familiar with. But Brother Branham was preaching in Portland, Oregon. And there was a man, Brother Branham called him a maniac, that he had got away from out of an institution and said he just hated preachers. And he had actually hit one and busted his jaw and his collarbone and just, I guess, knocked him out. And so the authorities were already looking for him. And he shows up here at this meeting. And the thing is, he's dressed in a suit. So he didn't come in just like some bum off the street. He came in dressed up in a suit. And he was Brother Branham began to start to speak while he come clamoring up toward the front and was making a lot of noise and stomping his feet as he came up. And he said, you hypocrite, you snake in the grass, I'll show you how much man of God you are. I'll break every bone in your frail body. Brother Branham said he looked to be about 300 pounds, about 6'2". So it looked like he could do it. And he said he had just led two policemen to the Lord in the back before he came out to preach. And these two policemen started to come forward. And Brother Branham waved them off and said, this isn't a flesh and blood matter. Amen. This isn't a flesh and blood affair. This is between the Spirit's power. And Brother Branham said, when you're in a time like this, you better know where you stand because you can't bluff. And so he went on speaking, and this man came up closer and began screaming all these things at Brother Branham, and he was spitting in Brother Branham's face. And Brother Branham started to tell him, I wouldn't do that, friend. But as he went to open his mouth, he said, here come the angel of the Lord. And he spoke and he said, you'll fall across my feet and you'll bow down before the name of Jesus Christ and fall across my feet. And he lunged at Brother Branham and said, I'll show you whose feet I'll fall across. And Brother Branham said, Satan, come out of him. And when he did, the man threw his arms up in the air, gave out a holler, and fell and pinned Brother Branham's feet to the floor with his weight. And they came up and they asked Brother Branham, said, is he dead? Brother Branham said, no, he's not dead. Said, well, is he healed? He said, no, he's not healed. They said, is he going to be better? Brother Branham said, no, because he worships that demon. And he said it had to come out when he commanded to come out, but he said it'll come back and that man will accept it because he worships that spirit. So you see, you can cast them out, but you can't keep them from somebody if they worship that spirit. And I've seen people who worship the spirit that's on them. And they tell me, cast it out. And I said, I'll be wasting my time. If you love that thing, I can't get you free of it. But if you want to be free, that's the thing. It isn't whether the devil will let you go or not. It isn't whether he wants to let you free. It's got nothing to do with any of your doubts or anything else. If you want to be free, Jesus Christ can set you free. Now, I've prayed for a lot of people and I've cast out a lot of devils. And sometimes there's physical things that happen. Sometimes you can see the spirit go. There's other times nothing physical happens. You don't see no manifestation leave. But you stand on the faith of God's word, and I know it's gone. I know I cast it out. And I know it had to listen to me, because all the rest of them had to listen to me. So I know in the name of Jesus it came out because I commanded it to come out. That's why I know it's gone. Now, will you have struggle? Look, we're in a battle. Paul said we wrestle against these things. It's a battle. It's a fight. He constantly comes to plague your mind. That's the battleground he chose. And one of the things he comes to try to do is try to implant doubt in your mind. Brother Branham said if a person could get healed, if Satan can plant doubt in their mind, then that whatever they got healed of will come right back. Because he said their faith will make it go away, but their unbelief will bring it back. So the thing is, you claim by faith, and I'll show you as I go along here in the message this morning, you don't back down from it. I don't care what you think. I don't care how many doubts goes through your head. You never back down. You claim, I'm free. Amen. There was a woman in Chicago, came up to be prayed for. And Brother Branham said, you've got cirrhosis of the liver. She said, yes, she did. And he said, but you're not just up here for yourself. He said, you're up here for your sister. He said, your sister is in Arkansas in a mental institute in a padded cell. She's a maniac. She said, yes. And he said, she's delivered. She's just came to herself just now. And said, and you're healed too. And so the woman was released from the mental institute the next day. She made a trip up to Chicago the very next day, and in the very next meeting, got up and gave a testimony of how God brought her to her right mind while she was standing there in a padded cell. So friends, I don't got to be standing right beside you. I don't got to be laying hands on you, although we can do that. But I'll tell you right now, if you can reach out by faith while the word's going forth, them devils have to leave. All you got to do is believe. But you got to expose that thing. You got to confess. The Bible says, Confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You've got to expose that spirit, because once it's exposed, it loses its power. It can't hold on. But as long as it can keep itself hidden, and that's why you need to give testimonies. Because the devil would like to plant doubts in your minds to say, oh no, now, how do you know? You're liable to say something and then turn around and you'll be right back to where you were. That's the devil talking. Now, the devil is a liar. Jesus called him the father of liars. And I heard Brother Billy Paul say one time, he said, how can you tell when the devil's lying? Said, whenever his lips are moving. So the devil can't tell the truth. He's going to put a lie in there somewhere, and one little bit makes the whole thing a lie. Brother Branham had another woman that came up to be prayed for in Toledo, Ohio. And this was in 1951. And she came up to be prayed for, and Brother Branham kept catching something. And he said, what it is, he said, there's a kindred spirit out there somewhere. And he said, whatever you've got, somebody else out there's got the same thing. And he said, birds of a feather, you know, they go together. And he said, demon power and demonology, it works in the same manner. I've heard birds of a feather flock together, and so do people of like spirits. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. You can't fellowship devils. I had somebody tell me one time, said, yeah, I've got such and such a devil, but I got him under control. Oh, no, you can't control the devil that way. Well, I just do this or that. But they love that thing, and they play around with that thing, and they don't want to be delivered to that thing. There's nothing you can do. But you can't say, well, I'll tell it to do this, and I'll tell it to go, and I'll tell it to leave, and I'll tell it to come back. Friends, it's controlling you. But by the power of God, it can be cast out, and then you can be controlled by the Spirit of the Lord. But here, he said, somebody's sitting here with the same thing. He said, it's kindred, it's pulling. He said, if I can get you to believe, it's got to leave you. He said, that's the reason it's fighting so hard. Because if I can get you to believe, it'll leave you. And he said, for he knows he's trouble. He says, for you're healed already. And he said, and you had female trouble. And he said, and you, lady, sitting right down there, you had the same thing. He said, you're healed too. And said they had an abscess on their ovaries. And he said, you're healed. But see, one spirit was calling out to the other spirit. In the message of, in the beginning, it wasn't so. Reached 1959 in San Jose, California. Brother Branham says, he's talking to an individual that's got cancer. And he's told them they got cancer, and he says, you know you're going to die if God doesn't touch you. And then he says, that hideous thing said, there's another demon screaming out. And said, a woman's shadow with a dark shadow, but that spirit of cancer is screaming to something else for help. Now, see, him being a prophet and being able to break into those realms, that way he could see those spirits. And he could hear them. Now, you don't hear them, but I'm going to tell you something. There's some screaming right here this morning. Because Brother Branham says, if a devil even thinks you're going to start believing, they begin to scream out for help. Now, notice what he said. If he even thinks you're going to start believing, you ain't even started believing yet. He just thinks you're going to. And when he thinks you're going to believe, then that demon will start screaming out to other demons for help. And he said, this spirit of cancer screaming out to something else for help. See, it's another cancer laying there on that cot. He thought he'd get by with that, but he didn't. Raise up, sister. Have faith in God. Go home. Be well. You too, sister. God makes you well. See, that's why those spirits will try to congregate, especially in a service where the Holy Spirit's coming and breaking their power. They'll try to congregate. They'll try to gain strength. But I'll tell you something. I've asked the Holy Spirit to have full preeminence in this service and not leave one bit, one corner out. Listen to this, though. Now, he said he's seen demons screaming. But listen to this. He says, out in the audiences, when the people start believing God, the Holy Spirit goes right down into the audience. So see, people, you start believing and the Holy Spirit starts moving. And he said it would start moving, and him being a prophet, it would start picking people out of the audience and him calling them out. That's how he did it, because the Holy Spirit began to move. Now, I'm not a prophet. But one thing I do possess is the word of God, and it says it's sharper than a two-edged sword, discerning the very thoughts and hearts of the individual. Some devils think they're hid. They ain't as hid as they think they are. But if I was you, I would want to be free. Oh, I didn't bring a water up here. I'd want to be free. Like I said, you can't. The thing is, once you're delivered, you can't go back around fellowshipping the people you were fellowshipping with before. You can't go hanging out with them, because if they still got them spirits, then it's like this. You say, well, I'll go here. I'll be a witness to them. No, don't go on the devil's grounds. You're venturing out without authority. But when the devil comes on your territory, when he comes on your grounds, then you've got the authority over him. Brother Bram says, you take a good woman and said, let her marry a real shyster. And said, after a while, he'll either become a gentleman or she'll turn out worse, one way or the other, because you can't keep fellowship in them spirits. That's why Brother Branham said a believer should never marry an unbeliever under no circumstances. That don't leave any room for error. Under no circumstances. I don't care what it is. I don't care what comes up. I don't care what anybody says. He said, under no circumstances should a believer ever marry an unbeliever. Because the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked. Now, here's something I want to get to that's very important. It's when you get delivered, you're free and you're emptied out, but you can't stay that way. I want you to turn with me in the Bible to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 24 through 26 is what I want to read. And it says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, He saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. What is that? He finds it sanctified. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, that's why you, when you get delivered, to think you can't just stop there. You gotta press on. Keep adding to, Brother Branham said. You're justified. God's called you. He called you out. God moved on your life, brought you to a place where you could get free of them devils. Then you let his word sanctify you, clean you out. The desires of the things, he'll burn them out with the fire of baptism of the Holy Ghost on your spirit realm. But then you need to go on and get the Holy Ghost. You need to fill that vessel. Brother Branham says, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walks in dry places searching for rest. And when he comes back with seven other demons more worse than he was, and the last estate of that man is eight times worse than it was at the beginning. And the first, he says, what happens in these meetings? People go into revivals and men just led an intellectual conception. He goes out and joins some church and lets it go at that. Satisfied, that's all. There's nothing to all this other nonsense. You shouldn't not have it. The pastor say, oh, that's all. That's for another age. And the first thing you know, that devil returns back with seven other devils, and he becomes a religious devil. Then he's really filled. Then he's got pride and jealousy, and he's even angry with the very God that wrote the Bible. He looks down there and says, those things that I do, shall you do also? That was for the disciples. You see, God wants to fill you. Why does he want to fill you? What does he want to fill you with? He wants to fill you with himself, the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost. So you got to let the Holy Ghost come. Friends, listen. Every part of the work is a work of the Holy Ghost. And then it comes down to getting the person of the Holy Ghost himself. And then you're sealed. But every work that happens in your life is the Holy Ghost doing it. Brother Ram says, when the work of the Holy Spirit brings a human being to his place, says, you make your choice. Oh, happy day I fixed my choice on thee, my Savior. No matter what the rest of the world does, it's sinking sand, my choice is on thee. The Holy Spirit moving down through his word saying, this is my word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Say, yes, Holy Spirit. Yeah, I promise eternal life to them to believe. I believe, Holy Spirit. I'll seal you. Then watch your life begin to move. Not the church, the Holy Spirit. Not the denomination, the Holy Spirit. What happens when the old spirit's gone out of a man? The devil is gone out of a man. He walks in dry places and come back and found the house all swept out. But you know, here's what happens. Once you lived in an old tin can alley where all the devils and rats and everything else live, fusses and fights and stews and arguments, but when the Holy Spirit comes in, he can't live in a place like that. Said the Holy Spirit then moves in and takes God's big bulldozer and comes down and digs that old alley up and throws dirt out and buries in the sea of forgetfulness and terraces off a nice big place and puts up a great mansion and he lives there. And the flowers of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and mercies and kindness and faith begins blooming around that house. So you let the Holy Ghost come in and let him push that stuff out. If you were delivered of something, you can't go hang out where them spirits hang out. You need to keep yourself in church. I'll tell you something. The devil tries his best to come up with every reason and excuse why you can't be here. Now, the Bible says in James 4 and 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So it ain't just resisting the devil. You got to submit yourself to God first. And draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. That's the thing, see. People say you get free. What you need is you need more of God in your life. So how do I do that? You draw nigh to him and he'll draw nigh to you. Begin to read your Bible. Begin to pray and talk to him. That's the big main thing right there is talking to him. By talking to him, you're drawing nigh to him. And I'll tell you something, friends. He'll come and draw nigh to you then. But you got to submit yourself completely to the Holy Spirit. And if you submit yourself completely to the Holy Ghost, there isn't one affliction that can hold you. There isn't one devil out of hell that can hold you if you'll fully submit yourself to the Holy Ghost. You walk by the power of the Holy Ghost. Brother Bram says, and something that's important is give your testimony. He said, you give your testimony that you're healed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Give your testimony. What happened? See, the devil don't want you to give a testimony. Because, see, it'll strengthen you and it'll help the church. Your testimony might be the very thing that touches somebody else. It might be the very thing that is the final nudge they need for them to go and say, I want to be free now. God does the impossible. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Last week, last Sunday, we prayed up here. Sister Cindy come up for prayer for her children. Brother Wayne come up for prayer for his children, and then Lydia Rose come up here, and she said, this is exactly how she said, I want him tormented until he comes. And she done her hand just like that. And so I prayed God would torment him. And I'll tell you something, friends, he's sitting here this morning. He was here this past Thursday night. Why? Because God answers prayer. He called me up on Tuesday and come met me here at the church, and God set him free right here in the back room. That's God moving. But it wasn't only him. I met with Sister Lydia Hope on Monday, and the Lord set her free. Amen. Nathaniel was up here on the pulpit Sunday. I could sense the Spirit of the Lord wasn't lifted. And he had a need. But I turned around to him and I said, the Spirit of the Lord ain't lifting. He said, I can tell. I said, well, just stand on up there then and lead him in a few more songs. And so he did, and I could see the Holy Spirit begin moving on him. And he could give you a testimony. When you stand here, especially after the words come forth, there's a mighty presence that's standing here. And then he turned around and I prayed for him. God moved in his life. Friends, look, Satan is losing the battle around here. I've got plumb sick of that fella. I don't know about the rest of you, but I am. Brother Branham said, you that's sinful, maybe drink, smoke, gamble, do things like that, you say, I can't give it up, Brother Branham. Yes, you can. You just submit yourself to God one time. Just yield your whole self to God and watch what takes place. That's the whole thing. There's no secret. It's not a hocus pocus. The only thing it is submit yourself to God. And then it's not you any longer. It's the Lord. The Lord does it. He says here, he said, submit yourself to God. This is an admission of faith. Take off all your doubts and lay them away. Never pick them up again. Friends, look, here's the thing about when Satan comes to war you in your mind, don't dwell on the thoughts he gives you. The thing that most humans do is when the devil comes and begins to lay these doubts in their minds, they'll begin to dwell on them. Well, maybe you're right. What if that is right? What if I can't make it? What am I going to look like in front of all the people? Look, that's just the devil talking. Everybody wants to, I'll tell you what, there ain't a Christian sitting here that doesn't want to see others free. And everybody here knows it's a battle. There's Christians been sitting here that's been serving the Lord for many, many years. And they fought the battles. They know it's a battle. So they're not looking for you to be perfect. Because they know it's a battle. And they know they're not perfect. It don't matter how many years you served the Lord, we ain't perfect yet. We've maybe matured, got a little stronger, but we ain't reached perfection yet because, friends, we're still in this old pest house. This old stinking rotten flesh that has its desires, that has its wants, that has things. Look, friends, the reason people have a thermostat in their house is because they like to feel comfortable. And of course, different people feel comfortable at different temperatures. The temperature I feel comfortable at might freeze you. But you just adjust that thermostat to what makes you feel good. Why? Because that's the part of the flesh. The flesh likes to be comfortable. We like to be comfortable when we ride down the road. That's all the flesh. Well, this flesh desires after things too. And I've said before, the devil can bring things back to your memory. I'll tell you how strong it is, your memory. The devil can bring something back to your memory, and you can remember what it smelled like. Anybody that's been out, this is how your memory is. Anybody that's ever been out camping, had a campfire, whatever. I begin to talk about a campfire, and the next thing you know, in your head, you can remember what that campfire smells like. That's the way the devil works. He wants you to remember those things you did. He wants you to remember what it felt like, what it tasted like, and all these things so that he can try to tempt you. And it's a battle. You got to wrestle against it. But here's the thing you got to realize is once the devil's been cast out, he don't have no more control over you. He can present you with whatever he wants, but he don't got no more control over you. Used to drink because the devil had control over you. But now he ain't got control over you. But the devil can come back and say, wouldn't you like to have a drink? You remember what this tasted like or what it smelled like? Whatever. And your memory can remember that. But the thing is, he don't got any control over you to force you to do that. Say, well, I didn't do it, but I really struggled. You wouldn't have struggled before. You'd have just done it. Something happened. Something changed. He said, submit yourself to God, take off all your doubts and lay them away and never pick them up again. Just ask the Lord to do it and see if he will. Sure, he will, because he's obligated. Friends, God's obligated to his word. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils. And that means means that in his name that he's obligated to come down and cast them devils out. As long as you're standing on his word. Esau, Brother Branham said, was a good man in a lot of ways. He cared for his father. He was a hunter. You know, that was one of the ways they got meat back then. One of the ways was hunting. And they hunted venison for deer. And he was a good hunter. And his father, Isaac, you know, was a prophet. But Isaac was getting old. And Isaac went blind naturally. But he also, his spiritual vision was getting a little dimmed. Brother Bram said, people think God tells everything. He said, God don't tell his prophets everything. He just tells them what he wants them to know. And he didn't tell Isaac that it's Jacob's the one all the time. Jacob's the one I love. Jacob's the one that's gonna do right. Jacob's the one that has a desire after me. He never told Isaac that. So Isaac had this love for his eldest son Esau because he brought him venison and cared for him and things like that. But see, Rebekah from the very start, and friends, I'm going to tell you something. This ain't really natural. You think maybe it is, but it ain't. But Rebekah from the start loved Jacob. It was God moving on her. It was God that moved on her to tell Jacob how to go in there and get the blessing as well as the birthright. It was God moving on Rebekah that got Jacob in there. But it was God moving because Jacob had the desire for it. Esau didn't care 2 cents for that birthright. That's why when he came across Jacob the one time, Jacob was making some soup. And he said, I'm starving to death. He said, I'm about to die. He said, let me have some of your soup. He said, give me the birthright and I'll give you some soup. Now, what kind of a trade would that have been? But Esau willingly did it because that birthright didn't mean nothing to him. He said, what good would the birthright do me if I'm dead? He said, you can have it. Now give me the bowl of soup. I've seen people trade out God for a bowl of soup. I've seen people trade out God for nothing. I've seen people trade out God for $100 a month. Whew. That's bad. But all of it, what Jacob went through to get the birthright, what he went through to get the blessing, all of that was working in God's plan. And Brother Branham said, God was working out a plan then. He had worked on it. And if you'll submit yourself to God, God will make it work right, make you work right into his plan. So you got to submit yourself to God. It's where some people have trouble. They don't want him to be Lord of all. But you got to let him be Lord of all. Just surrender. All to thee. I surrender. I surrender all. Just totally surrender everything to him. Say, God, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this, but I'm expecting you to do it through me. You set me free. Now it's up to you, Lord. I'm believing, I'm submitting myself to you. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to keep doing the work in my life. Make me what I ought to be. Because I tell you something, once you're set free, you don't want to be what you used to be. You don't want to go back to that. The thing is, You must be born again. You've got to be born again. Brother Branham said, everybody's afraid of that new birth. Some people are afraid of what it might do to them. They're afraid of where they might get embarrassed in front of everybody. I'm going to tell you something. There ain't no way that you're going to get embarrassed in front of everybody worse than you would if you don't accept it. Because if you don't accept him, there's going to be a day when your whole life will be put on display. And it won't do you no good then. But right now, today, God can set you free. Right now, today, all you got to do is keep believing. In my name, they shall cast out devils. See, what people do is the Holy Spirit begins to move in their midst. And they begin to listen to them other voices. But there's something in you that says, you know, I think maybe I should go forward. You know what that is? I told you last week, that's an angel of God standing there trying to urge you to go. Well, of course, the devil that's been tormenting you is going to be there to say, no, I wouldn't go up there if I was you. You ain't going to get free. You know, and people will fight and they'll struggle. And I've seen their knuckles turn white holding on to the back of the pews before. And I've seen people struggling last Sunday. And there was a battle going on, and the Spirit of God wouldn't lift. And I wouldn't leave. A lot of times, you know, when it gets to a certain point in the service, I'll leave, I'll walk on out. But I knew not to leave. I kept waiting. And I'll tell you something. While I was up here, I kept praying. And I kept praying for different people for their deliverance. I kept praying, Lord, let them come up. When Nate started to get touched by the Spirit of the Lord up here last Sunday, my first reaction, I wanted to step up there and just take a hold of him and pray for him. But something told me, no, you wait, he's going to turn around. See, they got to make a, you got to make a move. He said, people say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He said, well, the devil believes that. But you've got to be born again. And he said, say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's all right. Then add the rest of it to it. Say, I've been justified. I believe in Jesus Christ. Then you got to be born again. Then you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Just keep adding on as you keep going. You're growing in a stature of a son and daughter of God. My. And God's able to prepare us. Here's the thing, friends. You say, I don't know if I can do it or not. God can. My God, I said, can do it. And he'll do it through you. I'll tell you something. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. And I'm here to testify to you that when I was out in sin, there was a lot of pleasure to it. But it only lasted for a season. The devil just puts enough stuff in front of you to get you out there. Then after he gets you out there, he don't care a thing about you. Heard Brother Donnie say one time, he said, the devil will get you to rob a bank, and then while you're robbing it, he'll dial 911 on you. I know an individual one time that robbed a place, and they were trying to pry the safe open with a crowbar, and they ran out of the place, and the police caught him. I said, boy, that was a dumb devil. He still had the crowbar on him. He couldn't say, oh, no, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. He got caught red-handed. That's how them devils are. They don't care if you get caught. They're Bible said they're out to steal and to kill and to destroy. They're out to destroy your life. They're out to destroy your family. They're out to destroy everything you've got. The devil will use any means he's got. Sometimes people say, well, I'm doing really good on my job. I'm making money and I'm doing really good and whatever else, and I got this all took care of and everything. The devil says, well, they don't think they need to depend on God. Let's just keep that flowing. Then there's other people the devil says, they're too encouraged. They think God's blessing them. I want to take their job from them. And let me take their job, God, and let's see what they do then. That's what he did with Job. He said, just let me touch him and I'll have him curse you to your face. God said, go ahead. You just can't take his life. The trials of Job. God's able to prepare us. He'll give you a crave in your life that you want something. And Brother Branham asked the congregation, he says, how many wants more of God? And the congregation said, amen. And Brother Branham said, well, that goes to show there's more of God for you. If you want more of God, there's more of God to be had. You want more of God in your life? Then, friends, you're going to get more of God in your life. You want more out of the services? You'll get more out of the services if you're wanting more, if you'll put in more. He said, you need more so that you can be happy and free. God wants you to be happy. He don't want you being miserable. So you say, well, I'm miserable right now. What do I got to do? Get more of God. The Bible says, blessed are you, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If there's a desire, a hunger within you to be filled, then God's going to fill you. Look, people make getting the Holy Ghost, they make it into a hard thing. God wants to give it to you more than you want it. It's not a hard thing. We say, what do I got to do? Just keep believing. Let God keep doing the work in your life, and he'll finish it. He said that he would finish the good work that he started. Now, he started some good works here. He's going to finish them as long as you'll submit to him. Brother Branham was praying in the midst of having conference. He says, grant it, Father, have mercy on us. Let me never in all my life never compromise on one word of this Bible. Because I know first I'll be judged and their eternal destination is resting upon that. Help, Lord, let me be honest and sincere and tell the people that they must be filled with the Holy Ghost. They must be born again. Forgive us of our sins, God. Tonight there's men and women who raised their hands. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. Grant it, Lord, that this will be the night, this will be the time, that there will be such a spirit take a hold of them, such a spirit of longing and thirsting. Blessed are ye when you do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You said so, Lord. You promised it. I'm quoting your word to you, Lord. If they're hungry and thirsty, you promised you'd fill them. And I believe every word that you said is true. Lord, let them be filled tonight. Grant it, Lord. How many wants How many says, I want to be happy? Sure. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we've preached your word. Lord, we know once that the devils are exposed, they lose their power. And how we expose them is by confessing. Lord, it's not that we're coming confessing to a priest. No man here has the power to forgive us of sin. Only Jesus Christ can forgive sin. But Lord, we the people come confessing before you this morning. If there be any, then Lord, I know that you'll set them free. Lord Jesus, I pray you'll move amongst your people this morning. As we sing, Lord, the songs of Zion, I pray that you'll continue to move amongst your people, Lord. I pray the Holy Spirit will come and just bathe over the people. And I pray if there's any that's bound, Lord God, that you'll move. Let the angels of God that's standing near begin to move on them. Dear God, begin to urge them to get up out of their seat and come forward, Lord, and be set free. Lord, if there's any there with any doubt, Lord, let's get all doubt resolved today. Hallelujah. Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. If you got any doubt, come on up here and we'll get rid of them too. If you're bound, come up here and you'll get free. God's here to do it. Now, I've seen examples this week, and I know them before. You don't necessarily got to be here. God moving your life. You don't got to be in here in this sanctuary to be delivered. But the thing is, if there's something moving on you while you're in the service, it's best for you to go ahead and come. Amen.